Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago. Things are looking up, Al. You can find us on the Twitter at Larcher Lawrenson. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/LarcherAndLawrenson. And right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you found us at blogtalkradio.com/LarcherAndLawrenson. We got a lot to talk about. We got the big W this week. That's right, the Bears defeated America's team. America's team now. Here he is, Al Larcher. I'm Clark Lawrenson.
Wow. How are you? Thank you so much for tuning in to the greatest sports talk program in the history of mankind. And on tonight, where decisions are being made, elections are being decided, we're happy you're here listening to the real issues. And, man, we got a full boat for you. We got the Chicago Bears.
Yes, sir.
We got the Chicago White Sox collapse. We got a scathing article written by Jeff Perlman. You know Jeff Perlman?
No.
He wrote the book on Walter Payton.
Oh, got a lot of controversy. With Eddie, right? Eddie Payton's in there?
Yeah, well, Dicka wrote took a couple shots back, and Perlman responded. So there's a scathing article I'll read you about Dicka later, and we'll get your opinion on him, because, my God, is he a polarizing figure? A lot of people don't like Mike Dicka. As a matter of fact, I have never heard anything nice said about him from people who have met him.
About Dicka?
Yeah.
I met him during his show one day.
I was there, too.
He was a very nice
man.
After we tipped his charity just well,
That's right.
He took a great pick.
You throw 20 in the jar, he'll take a pick with you.
Never had a bad moment with Dicka.
Also, I want to put this question out there to the audience. I want people to think about this. Clark, I want you to think about this, because I'm going to ask you for some answers later. The number here, 347-945-6131. That's 347-945-6131. The subject, conventional wisdom and authority, and Celebrity Apprentice. The cast of Celebrity Apprentice is being announced later this week. I want to ask you, the people, at that phone number, 347-954-6131, if you were casting a sports edition of the Celebrity Apprentice, who would you like to see on the show? Clark, we'll go to you a little bit later, too, so keep that in mind during the program.
You're going to have to give me a good 48 minutes to think about this.
All right. You got 48 minutes. Hopefully people will call in with some ideas. Let's start off with the referee situation. Wow. Holy crap. We have football back on the airwaves, and it feels good.
The shield has been rejuvenated, my friend.
That's right.
You know, they all say we need to protect the shield. The NFL shield is what they're talking about there.
Who holds that shield, my friend?
Ed Hockley. Ed Hockley.
He is the Captain America of the NFL, and he is back on the sidelines, in the field, throwing the yellow, making plays. I tell you what, I haven't felt good about football this year. I'll admit it. I've been watching games, and it just doesn't feel right. It feels slow. It feels like every game is a Cleveland Brown game. I feel like I'm watching the Browns every single game.
Yeah, even when watching your Chicago Bears?
Even when watching the New England Patriots. I mean,
wow.
When you're watching these games, they were so slow, they dragged on, things were ugly, you didn't trust what was happening. To me, it was, as a fan of the game of football, it was very difficult to watch. All of a sudden, this week, the referees came back, and it was like, whoa, these guys matter. My God, the whole game is based upon these guys. They're as important as the players.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the old guys came back in. There were a couple rough patches here and there. Of course, they're going to be looking at it. You know how the media likes to scrutinize every little – we'll get to some of that in a little bit.
Jay Cutler, I'm sure.
You want to talk about that. But No, I think they did a fine job. It's great to have him back. The speed of the game is back.
Yeah.
You can see it. And the guys aren't trying to take advantage of this.
No, no.
Of them.
They know. There's no bullshit going on there.
It's like you said last week. The substitute teacher has gone home.
Right.
The real teacher is back. And
class is back in session.
The SHIT is about to hit the fan, my friend.
It has, yeah. And, I mean, I can't watch a four-hour football game. There's something fundamentally wrong with the sport when a game is 4 hours.
Oh, definitely. And you know, that can happen with a baseball game. You're such a fan of baseball. I've always loved that about you. I wasn't enjoying those games going so long. It took them a long time to work everything out. But I'll tell you what, and I'm going to give a nice little plug to them right here, Al. The NFL Red Zone, if you haven't tried it. I know you and I tried it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, buddy.
It's NFL cocaine. That's the way that we talked about it.
It's like bath salts in soup. It's that good. Like, you just get cranked up, and it's going, man. It's football.
But not to the point where you're going to watch the Red Zone one afternoon and then going and eating somebody's face. No zombies.
Really? Yeah. Well, I don't know. I was kind of considering that. It'd be kind of fun. Yeah, so our Bears are on Monday Night Football this week, and there were a lot of questions going into the game. How real are they? Will they stand up on Monday night? I saw somewhere that Lovie Smith's record on Monday Night Football, can you guess?
It's up there, actually. I think 6-2, maybe probably more games than
that. I think it's like 8-2.
Wow.
But
yeah.
It feels like they lose every damn Monday night.
I think
night.
They've lost every Thursday night they've
played. That's what it is.
I really feel like. Is that true?
I think it is, yeah. I think it feels like Thursday nights because it's that non-traditional. You just associate it with Monday.
Right. Hello.
Hey, hello.
I said right without the microphone.
Oh, all right.
Working out those technical kinks every week, Al.
Well, you're a kinky fella.
I appreciate it.
That's what I hear about you, at least.
Hey, now.
So the Bears had a lot of questions going into the game. Would the offensive line be able to handle DeMarcus Ware? Would the pass rush of the Cowboys dominate the Bears? And what we saw was football excellence. What we saw was a Super Bowl-caliber team playing in a primetime game in front of a national audience and Mr. John Gruden and just dominating.
Mr. John Gruden.
Are you a fan? A lot of people have opinions on him. One
Did
way
you
or
see
the other.
Beginning of the game calling Cutler a gunslinger?
Yeah, the Josie Wells of football. He's right. He's
my favorite was
right.
Listening to Cutler on his radio show yesterday, and he said, I had to call my dad and ask him who that was.
Gruden?
Josie Wells.
Oh, Josie Wells, yeah. No, Chucky is still Chucky. Yeah, people either like Chucky or hate him. I like what he tries to do.
He certainly brings energy to the booth.
He reminds me, like when I was a kid, were you a John Madden fan?
Yeah, I was a fan.
You know, that's kind of a thing. Like, I remember as a kid, older people were like, oh, God, John Madden. But I love John Madden.
Yeah, I'm with you. It was nice because when you play the games, you'd hear him say the same things over and over, and you'd get mad at him during the game. So it was actually a relief to watch a real game where he said other things.
And he had an energy to him. And when he talked, he explained football. And I feel like you lose a lot of that when the announcers are not coaches. When you get a coach, I love listening to Brian Billick in the booth. One of my favorites. Absolutely. He calls the game brilliantly. John Madden, another ex-coach who explained zones, and he explained coverages, and he explained routes. And Gruden does the same thing. I mean, he draws the play out for you. He tells you the names of them, a swap and dive and a dig dug left side, three man under, squad 2-17, Niner blue.
Yeah, I hear him call them all out.
And I actually enjoy it, and I think sometimes he's full of shit, but I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I am, too. When we're talking football here, sometimes I'm just,
Al, I trust in everything.
I throw a double-man coverage zone blitz in there, and, it sounds like I know what I'm talking about.
Sorry, I kind of zoned out there, Al. I just got this iPhone 5. It just came, and I'm nerding out on it. I apologize.
Another slave to the machine.
I can't help it. I'm trying to stay away from it, and I will. We'll get into the main thing here. I'd say mainly on the Gruden thing, I'm a thumbs in the middle to thumbs down. I'm leaning towards the downside.
You know, I'm not a social chick, so I'm a man and I'm happy with my droid. I'm just putting that out there. But yeah, no, I like John Madden John Gruden.
I didn't get the white one, Al. It's the black iPhone 5.
Yeah, it's still you're still a lady. It's a product marketed to women.
Let's say hello to everybody in the chat room, Al. Say hi to the people in the chat room.
Hello, chatters.
Chat up your questions. Give us a call in at that number, 347-945-6131. It's Bears Victory Wednesday here at the Larcher and Lawrenson Show.
Mm.
Tweet us at Larcher Lawrenson. Call in at the previous number, 347-945-6131. Hey, Al.
And I'd like to give a shout-out to Thelma in Portland, Oregon, who's joining us this evening. Thank you, Thelma, for listening. Hi to Bonnie in Kirkland, Illinois, another fine listener.
You know she's listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, yep.
I could feel it, like there's an energy. But, yeah, the Bears dominated that game. They looked good. Brandon Marshall looked like who Brandon Marshall is, and that's a 1,000-yard receiver. Jay Cutler looked like the guy we want Jay Cutler to be. And the line, with a little bit of help, I mean, this, you know, a lot of this is Mike Tice.
Yeah, he is.
He, you know, I was questioning his offense the last couple of weeks. I didn't feel like they were paying enough attention to zone blocking. I thought the scheme was a little messed up. I thought we did a little too many tricks. We were trying too many things too early instead of getting the fundamentals of a running game to set up a passing game. And I feel like this week he tackled those problems. He called a phenomenal game. The offense played well. They were slow at first. I mean, there was like 3 minutes left in the half, and it was 0-0. And I felt like that was a win because I felt like our defense was playing as strong as they turned out they really were. And then it was 3-0, and I'm like, wow, this is a win. We're on the road, and we're going into halftime in that cockroach-infested stadium. And did you see that, by the way?
Did I see what?
The cockroaches.
No, I missed the cockroach.
You didn't see the cockroach?
Where was the cockroach?
It's on Deadspin, if anybody wants to look it up. But the referee is calling a play. He's calling a foul. And in the background, there's one of those giant Madagascar cockroaches just kind of climbing the field.
I'll be damned.
Completely visible.
Huh.
Yeah, it was wild. But anyways, back to the point at hand. Things clicked right. The defense, everybody going into the season talked about the age of the defense, and my God, this team is going to fall apart. And you know what? There was some belief to that. There was some. I mean, you had Brian Urlacher who wasn't in training camp. There were some questions there. Tillman always feels like he's done, but man, that cat is crazy. I mean, he's got the swap and strike. As I tweeted during the game, I think he's the greatest cornerback to ever wear a Bears uniform.
You know, you said that, and you go back. I'm thinking R.W. McQuarters. No, he was a safety anyway, but wasn't he?
Just think of the turnovers Charles Tillman has
created. Oh, no, that's what he does. He gets in there and he takes the ball.
He's got the interceptions. Not record, not groundbreaking, not ground shattering, but he redefined the position as a position where you go after the ball to cause fumbles.
Yeah.
In the past, that was a linebacker's job.
Yes.
A cornerback's job was to just get the tackle.
Right.
Now you got a guy out there who and I've been to training camp.
Who creates fumbles.
Every year I watch him.
He's doing that.
He's on the sideline doing karate moves with the young guys.
Yes.
He's like a Zen karate master training them the art of the pop and fumble.
It's like a modern day Phil Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Callers, thank you for holding. Please continue to hold. We'll get to you as soon as possible.
All right. We can pop one of those on. You want to?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Let's go to the caller. Why not?
I think we recognize this caller. This caller's called in before. Hello, caller from the 815.
Yes, this call is coming from Bonnie in Kirkland.
Hello there. I think that I hear my good old neighbor, Roxy. Al, do you remember Roxy?
Of course I remember Roxy.
Hey, Roxy, how are you?
Well, hi, Clark. Hi, Al. We're sure enjoying your show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for listening. I hear that you're with my mother yet again.
Pardon?
You're there with my mother again?
Yes, absolutely. Say hi, Bon. Hi, Al. Hi, Clark.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hey, Ma. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. You guys are awesome.
Not the only one who calls into the show anymore, Al.
Well, I enjoy her calls.
I tell you, you're doing wonderful on this show, and I am going to promote you.
To what?
Well, here's our question.
Okay.
All right, Clark and Al, this is an opinion question, and maybe it'll drum up some response from your listeners. Do you think Cutler was justified in walking away from Mike Tice on the sidelines because he wasn't getting plays called in fast enough?
Well, Rox, we appreciate the call.
I'll be
thank you for the call. Thank you for the question. Yeah, go ahead and... Well, Al, go ahead with this.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is definitely something we need to talk about. It's, if people weren't watching the game, Jay Cutler, who's known as a crybaby, he's known as a juvenile delinquent, he's known as a troublemaker. Well, he's also a malcontent. I want to throw that in there. But he was very angry. He came to the sideline. He sat down.
It was a 3-and-out.
And Mike Tice sits down next to him, and he's like, hey, yo, Jay, I need to talk to you. Jay stood up, walked away, and you could see Tice kind of yelling at him, like, hey, get back here, man, get back here. And then Jay kind of went to the sideline and folded his arms, and next thing you know, there was a shot away. They came back from a commercial break, and they showed those two on the sideline laughing. And I don't want to read too much into it. I think we had media scrutiny of Jay Cutler long enough. We know who he is. We know he's a pompous jerk, but he's our pompous jerk.
That might be going a bit too far.
I don't think so.
He's a smug guy, and he knows what he's doing. He just doesn't happen to like to play the game. He doesn't want to play the media game at all.
Yeah, but did you hear his wise ass?
Why does he have to play? Yeah, he had a great reaction. I thought it was hilarious.
During the press conference?
Yes, during the press conference when he said, well, how long do I need to sit next to him the whole game? I get it. Like,
but that's not what he said. I mean, yes, he said that. That was the joke.
But he said the media is blowing something up.
He's like,
he walked away to grab some water to blow off some steam, and then he went back to the coach, and they got to the matters at hand. Did it work?
I don't know.
Did they come back out?
They won.
At the time, it was. I think that was at the they weren't even up by more than two scores at the time. And they went back out there after that 3-and-out, and they got it done.
Yeah.
Just,
I'm on your side here. I think they're making a big deal out of it, but you're defending Jay Cutler's actions, where I think they're juvenile.
We'll get to more of that later. We got another caller from the 708. Again,
yeah, we'll get back to
Roxy
that.
And Mother, thanks for the call. My mom calls in yet
thanks,
again.
Thanks, Bonnie. Thanks, Roxy.
Thanks, guys. Hey, caller from the 708, do you have a question?
No, I just have a comment. I think that Jay Cutler puts up with way too much. Nobody thinks that Mike Tice is an extra great coordinator. He's probably one of the worst coordinators. He's kind of new to the whole thing. And then plus it's like everyone's like, oh, did you see what he did to his left tackle? Oh, you mean the worst left tackle in the NFL? Plus you look at it and you're like, you know what? Jay Cutler throws a lot of interceptions. Yeah, because he's trying to force a lot of balls in the areas where, you know, there isn't anywhere really to throw. Like no one gets open. He's getting sacked 8.5 times.
But
you know what I mean? Like it's
these are all good points.
Great points, caller.
But how many excuses are we going to make for the guy? I mean, when is he going to take a little responsibility? He doesn't take any responsibility. After that Green Bay loss, he didn't take one iota of responsibility and say, hey, you know what? I could have played better.
He probably could have done better with the way he spoke there. Yes.
He throws everybody.
I don't think he was wrong in getting on Jamarcus Webb.
For years.
I don't think he was wrong.
For years, I used to say, you know what? Peyton Manning is a jag because the way he treats his offensive line. And now... Just saying, because I love Cutler, I'm not going to say that about him. No, it's true. The guy's a jag, too. You don't think
he's not beating up on Joe Thomas, you know what I mean? It's Jamarcus, and it's like,
sure,
I don't know, man. He needs to get beaten up on. He's got some talent in him. He just can't really operate it. And I mean, Jay Cutler's just getting frustrated.
Social media is what he's been doing.
The Web Nation.
Yeah, it's like... longest time, everyone's been like, why is Jay Cutler, why is he so quiet? Why is he not saying anything? And then all of a sudden, he's saying all this stuff, and they're like, why is he saying all this stuff? And it's like, he just can't win. And you hear him talk about it, how he just can't win, and it's absolutely true. I mean, he doesn't have any offensive line. He's doing the best he can. He's got a first-year offensive coordinator. He's got all the weapons in the world. But it's like, he's 29 years old, you know what I mean? Like, how many years before he has his breakout year? So I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk. I really love your show. And, I just feel bad for the guy because I think that he gets a bum rap most of the time.
We appreciate the call. Appreciate the opinion. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
We're the only people in the world, and this is going to go to the Dicka point later, we're the only people in the world who think Jay Cutler is this. He's not a jerk.
I know, everybody else, the entire nation.
Yeah.
Anytime you watch national media, they are right on top of this. And why are they picking it out? Brady the other day was yelling at his players right on the sideline. They brought it up a little bit, and that gets thrown under. It's because of the attitude.
Or it's because of the rings. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of – once you prove yourself,
thanks for
cueing
me on that, Al. Yeah. I just stole that from you.
Not a radio kid. No. You know, that's my fault. I was,
you gave it right to me.
I was acting out rings.
They think the rings was mine now.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But what a game. I mean, Jay Cutler with a 140 QB rating.
Yeah, it was up there. It was, my thing is, you know, the offense didn't have to play that great to get us the win. But they played maybe not great, but I think the offense played damn good. I'd give them a B, at least a B this week. How about yourself with our offense?
An offense?
Yeah, because their defensive line isn't anything to cry about, especially with your guy Ware over there.
No. Which is why I'll give him an A.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and back to the caller's point, I think Mike Tice is a great coordinator. I think he's one of the most respected in the league as an offensive line coach. This is his first year as an offensive coordinator, but the guy showed he knows football. He is making adjustments that make sense. And the game flow, you can't argue the game flow of Monday night's game was excellent. The play calling was brilliant.
You know, he actually said to Hester, I heard Hester earlier today, I believe on ESPN 1000. You know, he was on the national guy with Van Pelt.
Mm-hmm.
And Tice said to him before the game, he said, you're going to be one of the stars of this game. We're getting you involved. Because last week, Hester had mentioned his disdain. He wasn't very happy that they hadn't had him involved much. Tice went right to him, and then boom, he broke open for that play. Hell of a grab. Great catch in the end zone. And that's what I want to see from Hester. Every other game or so, show up with a huge catch.
And that's who he is.
And then he'll get his returns.
Right.
You know, you saw him. This week, I didn't see him as hungry running the ball back. Last week,
really?
Man, was he fired up.
I thought he was going to break one.
Yeah, he's going to. One of these weeks. We saw Kyle Orton.
We did. It's good to see the next Bear back, man.
Kyle. I'm sure he was. I wonder if he's running the big recycling show down there in Dallas as well.
You know, he's one of us. Like, he would fit in the Larcher and Lawrence
show.
Yeah,
he would. He'd fit in with Comedy Accident.
Good guy.
347-945-6131 with your question.
This week, I think we have a decent challenge in the Jacksonville Jaguars. And let me tell you why I'm excited about this game, because Jacksonville is not a good team with one of the worst quarterbacks in football right now. I'm liking this game because Jacksonville has a good defense, and they have absolutely no offense. So we know our defense can dominate this game, and we know this is a win we must have because it's a team we need to beat as the seventh-ranked team in football. So our defense is going to dominate and feel good, and we can probably not go as hard going into a bye week. But our offense, they're going to get tested again. They had a test Monday night. They handled DeMarcus Ware. Now let's see them go in Jacksonville, and let's see them do the same thing against a pretty good defense.
Right, but I don't think we have to score many points there.
No,
We won't have to score too many to win
that
game, will we?
No, I don't think so. I think we could score very few points because their offense is so terrible. Our offense is so good. So that gives our offense a chance to play a little bit and find itself. And that's one of the things you need. You had a good game. If you build upon two good games, now you have momentum. You have an offense that believes in itself. You have an offensive line doing the right things. And, oh, by the way, we have a bye week to get even better because of the great coaching that we have. And we do. Gruden brought this point up. I thought he made an excellent point. Lovie Smith runs the most vanilla offense in football. It's as basic of an offense as you could get. I'm sorry, defense as you can get. It's four guys rushing the ball. It's a cover two. You got your linebackers right in there playing man. And it's attack the run, cover the pass, and let our four guys beat their front guys. Let's get to the quarterback. Let's rush it because the cornerbacks are going to play coverage. They're playing 6 yards off the cornerback, which sometimes we get beat by. But all in all, it's wonderful, and I'm excited to watch this game 3:00 Sunday.
Yeah, I like the 3:00 start time for it.
Going over to my buddy Aaron's. We're going to do some ribs.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I was going to invite you over here.
I know you. You mentioned that earlier. I
invited you too late. Aaron got you first.
Aaron got me first.
Aaron, if you're listening, God bless you. Enjoy the larger.
He's not.
He doesn't.
No.
Do any of your friends like this show?
No. God, no. No, not in a million years. Friends? What friends?
I'm right here.
Exactly.
And I don't like the show.
No, I didn't think so. Yeah, no, I think, no, I can't even lie. 347-945-6131 is the number to call. I'm Al Larcher. He's Clark Lawrence, and we are the United States of America on a night where most people are tuning into an election instead of listening to the brilliance that is known as the Larcher and Lawrence Sports Show.
Sports Show. I got to tell you, Al, we said a few things last week. First of all, I thought that the offense would have their coming out party this week. They kind of did. Brandon Marshall looking great, doing everything that he needs to do. I think maybe you started it, actually. We didn't have a good feel on the Chicago White Sox.
2 weeks ago, we said, oh, God, I don't think this lead's going to hold. We came back last week, the lead didn't hold, and we said, my God, it doesn't feel like it's going to come back. It doesn't feel like we're going to bounce. We were only down by like a game. We're not going to bounce back from this, and we didn't. And the White Sox are out of the playoffs, and baseball in Chicago is dead.
Yeah.
Beep. Hey.
Yeah.
Speaking of baseball. This kid here, this Clark Lawrence, did he blow an opportunity? Did he absolutely spit in the face of professional baseball today?
What are you talking about?
Because he ran into the owner of the Chicago Cubs.
Me and Tom?
Yeah. You there's a picture of you sitting next to Ricketts, who seems like he kind of looks like one of those guys in the commercial.
I'm going to try to get it up on our on the old Facebook here.
All right, well, you did. I'll talk then.
Good, go ahead.
He kind of looks like one of those guys in the Ocean Spray commercial or the guy whose dog has the secret recipe.
Right.
You know, he seems like a nice older gentleman who, was bamboozled into buying a horrible team and believing that maybe he could fix it.
Uh-huh.
Well, you get a picture sitting right next to him. Literally, he's sat next to you and our friend Brent.
Yeah, I got to talk to him for a brief minute.
Well, by the way, Brent's birthday today. Happy birthday, Brent.
Happy birthday, Brent.
And you had a conversation with the owner of the Chicago Cubs, the historic Chicago Cubs, and instead
Tom
of asking
Lincoln.
Him, like, hey, Tom, seriously, what's going on? How do we fix this? How can I help? How can I be a part of this? You know, I tried out to be the announcer. You could have told them that.
I didn't bring that up. You know what I should have? I should have asked him if I could give tours of Wrigley Field.
You should have, yeah. You could have rode your little segue right in there.
But what I said to him was,
Can I guess the conversation before you tell
actually,
us?
Yes, please
okay.
do.
Oh, hi, I'm Tom, owner of the Chicago Cubs.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
And then you're like, hey, would it be all right? Hey, can you sit between us so we could get a picture with you? Oh, sure, yeah, you enjoying the game? Yeah.
I don't even have to tell you how the conversation went. You nailed it. That's perfect.
All right, boys. Well, thank you. And then he left.
He's not 96.
Yeah, well,
he's not 96.
I don't know. He looks like a young Orville Redenbacher.
What it is, he's coming around shaking people's hands, running a good business by looking like, the people man. And then I sat down next to him, and I just told him, I said, hey, listen, Tom, I like what you're doing. I think you have the right guys in place. And he said, yeah. He said, you got to take it. He said, you got to whittle at the wood. That was his term. Whittle at the wood.
Believe me, he's whittling at his wood often.
And he also said that he needs to, what he said was, kind of spaced out there, looking at that iPhone 5 of mine. Sorry.
Yeah, just put it down.
No, I can't help it. It's the iPhone 5. It's kind of neat. What I was going to say is, Then I just said to him, I said, I think you have the right guys in place. Yeah, that's what I already said that, didn't I?
Uh-huh.
Sorry, iPhone 5. He said, yeah. He said he's got a lot of baseball geniuses. That was his term. Baseball geniuses in place. I say, Al.
Did you say, hey, you need one more? I know this guy, Al Larcher, and he could save your organization.
You hate baseball. You don't want to save it. You'd kill it. You would infiltrate it, and you'd get in there, and you'd kill it.
If you ever want to solve a problem, Clark, you put somebody in who
Let's
hates
give these
it.
Cubs 2 to 3 more years before we're thinking about it.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm just saying you blew an opportunity. Do you know the business handshake? Do you know how to do it?
Yeah, I did.
You got to touch webs. My web, the web of my thumb touches the web of his.
No, here's what you do. You get that web in there. You're right. That's step one.
Jamarcus Webb?
Yeah, Jamarcus Webb. you get the web to web going, okay? Then you hold his hand and you shake. And as you shake, he cannot escape. And then you lay down the law. Listen, you know, I think you got a good choice in your owner. What's the guy's name?
John Ricketts.
No, the other guy. The guy you hired.
Oh, and Theo. Theo Epstein.
Yeah, I think you got a good deal on Epstein. Bravo. But tell me this, sir. What are you going to do about the traffic in front of Wrigley Field?
How large you are the man. You got to get off the traffic thing. Just avoid it during those times.
You can't.
Why do
play.
You need to travel down Addison Avenue during every Cubs game? It only happens 81 times a year.
Uh-huh.
81 times
a
year.
God.
Or God love it. Can you imagine if we made the playoffs and you got some extra games there at Wrigley Field?
I would rather be stuck in an elevator with a group of people on bath salts than stuck in traffic with Cubs fans. And believe me, I love Cubs fans in the bar. Very lovely people. Very
May
nice
I just,
from
I
a difference.
I really want to see you on an elevator with everybody else on bath salts.
Yeah, it'd be a show.
Yeah.
We might want to podcast that.
Sure.
Can I do this Dicka piece? Would that be all right?
Yeah, tell me about Dicka. We were talking about it before the phone call.
Yeah. I mean, what's your opinion of Dicka?
I've always had a pretty good opinion of him. Hard-nosed. Doesn't take, you know, crap from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
He can be an ass, but he was ours. I mean, it's kind of like the way you see color.
Okay, well let me do the backstory a little here. Jeff Perlman wrote a book on Walter Payton that a lot of people didn't like because, well, quite frankly, it was probably too honest. You have a hero in this town, and a lot of people feel, and there's some strategy going all the way back to Jesus Christ. You don't let the idols, you don't show their ugly sides in the history books. You just show them as the greatness that they were, the sweetness, the guy on the field. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know that Walter Payton had herpes and was spreading it around.
I didn't know that.
Well, you didn't read the book.
Is that really in the book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. You know, he Walter Payton was not a saint.
I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel that some people do claim that he is? Because I don't think he was a saint, but I appreciate everything that he's ever done for the Chicago Bears.
Right. Well, I mean, growing up, I never heard a bad thing about Walter Payton.
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy writes a book, and it's very – he did a lot of research. He researched the book for something like 2 years. He interviewed 750 people about Walter Payton, including Mike Ditka. So this is Jeff Perlman's response. Eddie Payton has just written a book about his dad. Mike Ditka did the foreword, and in it, he attacked Jeff Perlman. Okay? The name of the article is Ditka, D-I-C-K-A. So Eddie Payton has a new book out, Walter and Me, that is, I'm pretty certain, intended to counter sweetness. That's the name of his book. Contrary, I'm guessing, to some belief, I've got zero beef with Eddie. In the course of researching sweetness, he granted me 2 lengthy sit-down interviews and guided me toward many of the key figures from Walter's life, including Bud Holmes, his agent, and Bob Hill, his coach at Jackson State. Even though I don't love some of the things Eddie wrote in Walter and Me, I understand a man defending and trying to define his late brother. That being said, the book's introduction is written by Mike Ditka, a person I consider to be unambiguously stupid. I would call Ditka's brain rock-like, only I felt it could be interpreted as an insult to some of the world's fine rocks. Ditka is, in no particular order, adult, a bully, a thug, a moron, an ass, and a fool. He also happens to be the man who coached the Bears to Super Bowl XX title, which means he can do nothing wrong in his adopted hometown of Chicago. I, however, don't live in Chicago. Therefore, my reverence towards a man doesn't exist. Back when Sports Illustrated ran the Sweetness Expert excerpts, Ditka told a television reporter that, "We're here to see me, he'd spit on me." Admittedly, Iron Mike had yet to read or see the book. But hey, why should he? Tough is tough, strong is strong, right is right. Of course, a couple of days later, on Dan Lebatard's radio show, Dick admitted he probably jumped the gun and should have given more thought to his words. Okay, I thought. Peace reigns. Today, however, I read Dicka's introduction. Here is part of what he wrote. And when it comes to someone writing about my friend, I have to ask, how well did the writer really know him? Did he grow up with him? Was he on the playing field with him? Did he live with him? Was he a parent? Was he a coach? Was he a player? In the case of Jeff Perlman, the answer to this question is no. Perlman wrote a book about Walter, but it was written from a distance. It was all second-handed. He put together a few things he'd heard, some of them from people who have very little credibility, to paint a picture that just doesn't look much like Walter I knew. He'll always hold a high place in my book, and you couldn't pay me enough to ever crack open the cover of Perlman's book. I know he tried to say you can't just look in the experts, but I saw all I needed to see in those excerpts. It's pathetic to write something like that about an individual who isn't here to defend himself. If the person has passed and can't respond, then just let the speculation rest with him, period. Perlman responds, where to begin? How about here? What sort of fool rips a book he hasn't read? This might be hard for Dicka to fathom, but most people tear apart a book after completing it. This, of course, would require Dicka to read 480 pages, something I doubt he's ever done.
Wow.
In fact, I'm willing to accept 100-to-1 odds he's never even read Eddie's book, which is about half the size of mine. Second, I love how Dicka has taken ownership of Walter Payton and feels comfortable in discussing his legacy. If Dicka knew Walter so well, how was he thoroughly 100% unaware of his late dependency and depression? If Dicka was so tight with his former halfback, why didn't he help him out with emotional problems that so plagued him? Where was Mike Dicka when Walter needed him? Furthermore, we're almost done here. Furthermore, in all those years of slamming Walter Payton to defensive lines, did he ever think, perhaps I should give him a rest? Did he ever think, maybe the pounding is too much? It's easy now, years later, for Dicka to talk about the wounded warriors and how much help they were with the physical and mental beatings NFL life offered. But where was such judgment when he was coaching? Where was Mike Dicka then? Lately, I love a few things he heard. Love it. Sweetness took me 2.5 years. I interviewed almost 700 people, including Mike Dicka, more than 100 NFL teammates, and dozens upon dozens and dozens of classmates from high school and college, and on and on. Sweetness was my labor of love, something I put my heart into. I could understand Mike Dicka disliking the book. I could understand Mike Dicka ripping into an introduction like that. We all know that. He didn't write and probably didn't even review. What I can't understand is his pride and blind idiocy. That's just pathetic. And that, of course, was Jeff Perlman responding to Mike Dicka.
Right.
We'll talk about it in a second, but I understand we have a caller?
Yeah, we sure do. We have a caller from the 816. Caller from the 816. Hang on one moment. Hello, caller from the 816. How are you?
Doing great, guys.
Thanks for the call. We do appreciate it. Al's here with you. What's your name, caller?
Yeah, this is KC Jimmy. I'm calling you from Kansas City.
Hey, Kansas City Jimmy. How you doing?
Nice.
Great. You guys have a really big following here, you know?
Oh, yeah? In KC?
Yeah, huge following.
We're redefining what Kansas City is when it comes to sports.
Yeah, there's me, and then, there's me.
Well, that's a start. I'll tell you what. If we can start in Kansas City with KC Jimmy, that's the one place I want to start.
Damn right.
But I've been listening to you guys every day for 10 years now.
Well, thank you.
Well, we appreciate that.
I remember
I love the show.
Just picking up my first microphone.
But I wanted to talk some White Sox here.
Okay.
So, as you can see, the White Sox are pretty much done for here. They're all getting old. TV's going to be gone. Canerco's ready to retire. Royals are looking strong here coming up in the next few years.
And they already have the White Sox number this season.
Yeah, the White Sox came in town. I went to the game a month ago here, and the Royals swept them pretty good.
I was at a Royals-White Sox game here in Chicago, Jimmy, the one where my girlfriend caught the home run, the game-winning homer from KC. They just seemed to have
I was at the one here where Bruce Chen almost threw a no-hitter.
No kidding. I'll be darned.
Yep.
So what do you think? You feel like you're – how are your Royals looking? We haven't really gotten the AAA report over here yet.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, the way Bruce Chen's pitching against you guys, if we could do that a few more times a year, we'd be getting ready for the playoffs.
Hey, well, I can't disagree with you on that, my friend.
I hear they're going to go spend some money in the offseason, get a couple pitchers, and then watch out.
There you go.
Well, that's all we need, too, are some pitchers.
We, Al and I weren't surprised by the White Sox collapse here. I'll tell you that much, Jimmy.
I saw that coming.
What's that?
Saw that coming, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicago sports.
Hey, Jimmy.
Well, you guys keep on doing your thing, and I'm going to keep listening and calling in, letting you know
how it's going here. Jim, before you go, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, if I'm in Kansas City, where am I getting barbecue at?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, you got a lot of choices here. Arthur Bryant's, Jack Stack, Oklahoma Joe's.
Oklahoma Joe's, that sounds
fun. That sounds perfect.
That's the place to go right there.
All right. I mean, next time we're in town, next time we're taking that trip down to Kansas City, here we come. We'll be stopping at Oklahoma Joe's, and we'll get some...
Road trip it. You guys can crash on my couch.
I'm in.
All right, I'm in. Let's find one. We got a Chicago sports team in town, and let's go. All right, thanks for the offer, Jimmy. We do appreciate it. I got an extra room in my place.
Bye, guys.
Next time you're in town, come say hi.
Will do.
All right, thanks for the call.
Well, that was nice.
That was nice.
I like hearing from Jimmy.
So, what do you think about the Ditka piece?
I don't think I've learned anything new about Mike Ditka in that. I think that is who we get.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to comment on all of it because it's kind of like my childhood. And like, you know, when you see things aren't quite the way that you always saw them, you know, you always looked up to your heroes and everything.
Yeah.
And that's just life, and that's who these guys are. So, and it too helps make them who they are, and it's why they're successful at certain things.
So this comes full circle back to Jay Cutler.
That's what I'm saying. It's right back to it.
If you idolize bad, most of the time you don't even realize you're doing it. You're blind to the flaws of an individual because you're so enamored by their success or what they bring to the table. You just see the positive and not the negative. And I think that might be kind of a dangerous way of looking at things. Just my opinion.
Yeah, right.
I don't necessarily agree with Perlman, but I gotta say, anybody I know who's ever had dealings with Ditka, outside of like, you know, shaking his head, I saw him once at a Walgreens. He's a nice guy.
Right.
Big guy. A lot bigger than you guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a tight end.
Yeah. Right.
Hall of Fame tight end. But the coach is he's a good guy, and I like him. But people who've had dealings with him say he was kind of a jerk.
Coach.
I knew a guy who did something for him. He worked on one of his shows, and Ditka would pay him in cash, but I guess it was very hard to get Mike Ditka to pay him. You know, you had to fight with it. You know, he'd be like, all right, I got the money. I'll get you the money. Don't worry, you'll get the money. It's like, coach, I can't, you know, yeah, I got it. And then I guess he went to his car once. He opened the glove box, and it was like Fort Knox. Pulled out cash.
Really?
Gave him a lot of money.
I'll be darned. That's a good way to look at it. Al, I've got to talk about it. When I was at that game earlier this afternoon, the Cubbies looked like they were losing control of it in the top of the eighth.
Uh-huh.
The Astros scored three runs on a three-run homer to tie it up. Then in the bottom of the ninth, the kids were getting on base. The new faces of the Cubs got on base. Bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the ninth, Brian LeHair. Brian LeHair, one of the great stories, came up late last season. He's been bouncing around the minors.
Yeah.
He was about 29 when he came up. Hits a lot of home runs. He came in and he hit the game-winning single to end the season for the Cubs. Ending this season on a high note so we can go into the next season in roughly 130 days and get the next season started on a high note. How do you feel about that, my friend?
Oh, I feel high. Note coming on.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the Chicago baseball Cubs are something to look at. There were a few guys, of course, today that I didn't even recognize the names on their jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other guys you got to keep looking at.
Yeah, because they're parking lot attendants.
The young guy. Let's see if Jackson can make the big league club next year. Let's see what he has. And Rizzo is, I think he and Castro are the future of the Cubs, and I think they can they can get us moving and get us moving towards in the right direction,
right,
towards possibly making the playoffs here in the next three, 4 years.
Oh, boy, what a goal.
No, it's a good goal.
It's a good goal. No, I'm
better.
Believe me.
You hear that there's a league? Not since 1987 has a professional sports league in America used replacement players. But did you hear that there's a league talking about doing it?
What's that?
The NHL.
Yeah?
Yeah. NHL, they are actually, they have been discussing using replacement players.
What do you think? You think we should audition?
I think we should.
Is it called an audition at that point?
I think it is. I think it's a home team tryout.
A tryout.
Yeah,
a tryout. Yeah, that's more.
Bring your own skates, you know?
I'm bringing them.
You don't own skates.
I can't.
Could you find them?
No, I don't own skates, but I could find them. I could go to
Play It Against Sports.
Play It Against Sports. I could get some recycled pair of old rusty skates. Do you want to hear about my hockey career?
Yeah, please.
When I was a young man, I was in preschool. It might have been a little older. It was somewhere between first grade and preschool. I was taking ice skating lessons, you know, to become a hockey player.
Why aren't you taking ice skating lessons?
And there was, I'll never forget it, there was this really fat kid, and I was really skinny back then, by the way. Yeah, I was a real skinny kid up until like 8. And there was a really fat Eskimo kid in front of me. And, he was skating slow, and I was trying to skate. I lost my balance. I fell down. My tear duct in my eye, that little corner ball, landed on the blade of his skate, sliced it wide open. I had to go in and get microscopic surgery on my tear duct.
And how did that feel?
Damn near lost an eye.
Are you serious?
True story.
Sorry to hear about that.
Yeah. So since that young career injury, that was a career injury, I didn't recover from it. I haven't been back on the ice since. But if I'm given the opportunity to join the Chicago Blackhawks, I'm going to give it a shot. Do you remember in ice hockey they used to have the fat guys?
No, the Bulls used the fat guys to dance out there. What are you
no,
talking about?
Not the Lovables. I'm talking Nintendo. Do you remember the game ice hockey?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the fat guys.
Yeah, the fat guys, the real skinny guys, and the medium-sized guys. And the to quote Jeff Pearlman, the fat guys were in no particular order, adult, a bully, a thug.
All right.
And that's what they were. They pushed the people around. I think maybe I could be a goalie or, one of the fat guys who hit people.
All right, folks. Hey, there's still time to call in at the Larcher and Lawrenson Show. 347-945-6131. Hey, we'll take your calls. Your best bet for this coming weekend in the NFL. You have that Thursday night game coming up, the Cardinals at the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of your best bets? We have Eagles at Steelers. In fact, Larcher, let's do a quick pick 'em.
Okay, I don't like picking, but go ahead.
Am I going to do the picking?
No, I'll pick, but listen, people, I'm not a trained professional, and I'm not putting my money where my mouth is.
I didn't ask you to put your money where it is.
I'm just putting that out. I don't want people to go, wow, Larcher's a genius.
I'm not asking you to bet at all.
Okay.
But $5 says I can pick him better than you.
You're on.
All right, we got it. That's
three
good.
Three games.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll go with Cardinals-Rams.
Cardinals-Rams. Okay, are we doing a point spread?
No spread. I happen to be at the NFL.com where they don't have the spread.
I got a spread if you want
to spread.
You got a spread?
Yeah. All right, what's the spread, Cardinals?
All right, let me just pull it up here real quick. Hey, what do the Cardinals, Texans, and Falcons have in common?
They're all birds.
A Texan is not a bird, Clark.
It could be.
Do you know? Do you get
what is a bird from Texas this? Called?
What
do they have in common? They're all 4-0.
Yeah, very good.
There you go.
Do you think the Cardinals, the Texans, or the Falcons will win a Super Bowl? Do you think one of the three undefeated teams right now will win a Super Bowl?
Why couldn't they?
I don't know. Why could
our good old Chicago Cardinals could do her? That defense is looking damn good.
Yeah, not bad.
So who's your pick, Al? Cardinals, Rams, what's the spread?
All right. The Cardinals, oh my God, what a spread.
The Cardinals.
Shut up.
The Cardinals.
The Cardinals are giving 1.5 points to St. Louis. Wow.
At St. Louis. So, wow, that's it?
Yeah.
I'm taking Cardinals on that.
Really?
Yeah.
I will take the Cardinals as well. you know, if we all pick the exact same, it's
well, we'll come up with a tiebreaker. It'll be the
all right.
The score of the Bears game.
All right, sounds good.
Let's go with then Broncos Patriots.
Oh,
yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Starting at 3:25 Central on CBS.
Thank you for that. What game is this?
Broncos at Patriots.
Okay. Let's find that here. I had ribs tonight. I'm
Be
sorry.
Careful.
Pardon
yeah,
me.
Yeah, we both had
ribs. The game does not exist.
Are you
oh, here it is.
The same thing I have right now?
Here it is. Wow, look at that. Over and under is 51.5. I'd take the under on that.
I wasn't asking for an under. I was
all right, I'm sorry. 6.5. New England's giving 6.5.
Giving 6.5 to the wow, that's
mm-hmm.
a good line.
Mm-hmm. If Peyton Manning could keep it close.
I know, that's the thing. Give me Broncos.
You're going to take the Broncos?
And are you going to go with your...
I'll take my Patriots.
There you go. That's your AFC team. You've always said it.
All right. Are you writing these down?
Yeah, I got them.
All right, I'm writing them too.
Al Cardinals, so. Patriots, Clark Cardinals, Broncos.
Right. Let me pick the last game here.
Oh, your turn.
Does that seem fair? Is that okay
Whatever.
With you?
347-945-6131. We appreciate those of you listening live to us right here tonight during two other guys talking on the old television and radios. We're coming at you right here at blogtalkradio.com.
All right, I think that I'm doing this because I think it's going to be I like the point spread. Buffalo versus the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco is giving 10 points.
I'll take 49ers.
You're going to take the 49ers giving 10?
I'll take 49ers.
All right, I think the 49ers are starting to fall a little bit. It is in oh man, I'm having a hard time saying the words Buffalo.
It's in San Fran. You're going to go Buffalo.
Buffalo's not a very good team.
Fitzpatrick puts up some numbers.
You know what? I trust in my my predictions. I'll take Buffalo.
All right.
You heard it here, folks. Here first, folks. I can't talk tonight.
Well, then we're in some trouble.
Well, we're all...
I can't talk any night.
all right. So those are our three games of
the
week.
Those are the three games of the week. What's your best bet for a win? I'm going to go Bears over Jacksonville. I kid you not.
Yeah, all right. I don't think that's a bad pick. I don't know why you'd be kidding on that. That seems pretty serious stuff. My pick of the week, my guarantee, the Al Larcher lock of the week, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Giants will defeat the Cleveland Browns.
Damn, you looked a little harder at it than I did. Not by much, but you looked harder. I think we both got a good bet.
I think we really do.
You know, what if Jacksonville comes up with it?
Then we'll be very angry next week. At least I will be. And I will be telling, I'll be agreeing with that caller earlier who said Mike Tice is not a very good coach.
But right now he's doing a damn fine
job. Right
now
the man is a genius.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this show is brought to you by Mattress Warehouse of DeKalb, 815-756-4999. They're at 1224 East Lincoln Highway. That's Route 38, DeKalb, Illinois, Mattress Warehouse.
Hey, how you doing out there in DeKalb? Thank you for listening.
Fine people out there.
Hit up the old Mattress Warehouse.
Hey, if you're looking for a good bed to bang on, you go to the Mattress Warehouse.
That's coming from a true former bed salesman right there.
I used to be,
there.
Yeah. Listen, you need a Stearns and Foster. That's what you need for a bed. Okay, real quickly here. I teased it at the beginning of the show, and, it didn't generate much interest, but that's okay because I'm smart enough. I'm strong enough.
You are. You're all
doggone it. People like me.
Oh, using a 15-year-old SNL thing, and
right.
I still like it, my friend.
All right, thank you.
I like it.
I was going to do the Mike Tice, Jay Cutler. I was just going to walk. I was just going to walk away right now. So the Celebrity Apprentice casting, stupid show. Donald Trump fires people. What if they did an all sports edition? Who would be some of the guys you'd like to see? Some of your sports legends, if you could pick anyone to have a chance at winning the Apprentice.
Give me, Magic Johnson.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Sure. If the man can defeat AIDS, he could probably avoid a firing.
Well, there it is. There it is. Wow.
You know what? I'll take Jordan. Yeah, well, but he's not doing so hot there. Well, you know, with his gambling issues, he probably needs the money for the. He could be win the.
Do you really think Michael Jordan needs some money right now?
No,
really?
No. He's got an ex-wife though, and God knows how expensive those are.
He's got a new wife too, and God knows how expensive those.
Ooh,
are.
Ooh, yeah. All right, so we got Jordan. We need like 12 here. Warren Sapp just filed bankruptcy. I'm throwing him on the show.
Warren Sapp,
the big daddy of the defense.
Wait, are they doing a sports one, or this is in Larcher's?
This is in Larcher land.
Larcher land. I like it though. Give me another guy. I will take past or present. Can I have dead?
No dead. No dead. Rael Davis would have been my
first
pick.
There goes Harry Carey. He's out the window.
Holy.
He'd have been good on it. Come on. They always have somebody out
there. Yeah, they got a drunk guy.
All right.
He's equivalent to the Andrew Dice Clay.
Bobby Knight.
Ooh, that's a fiery personality right there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm trying to think. You know, we need some broads on there, too. So I'm going to throw...
That is females.
You know, so we could just get two out of the way. I'm going to do Serena and Venus.
Taking the easy way out. Now we've met our quota of mentioning women in this.
Wow.
I will take, give me Theo Epstein.
Right.
Oh, he needs to be an athlete, right?
Yeah, I think executive. Well,
Jay Cutler.
Ooh. Can you imagine him and Bobby Knight?
But it's smoking Jay Cutler.
All right.
On the whole show.
I would love to see Jay Cutler and Bobby Knight running a lemonade stand together. That would be my ideal of genius. My ideal of genius. That sound like an idiot.
I like your ideal of genius.
I'm going to put Hulk Hogan in there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely Hulk Hogan. And then, well, I mean, you can't do it without the genius. Leaping Lanny Poffo.
Lanny Poffo.
There you go. The Macho Man's brother.
The poet. You remember when he used to read poetry in the rain?
Yeah, I think next week we're going to have to get a clip of some of the geniuses.
Some
poetry.
Leaping Lenny poetry.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
it. Let's see how many we got here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We need three more.
Three more.
Give me a woman.
Pat Summitt.
Who?
The coach of Tennessee, the Volunteers coach.
Oh, okay.
Pat Summitt.
She
won all those. She's like the leader,
she,
the all-time leader. Well, I think she actually.
Does she enjoy softball? Is what I'm getting at.
No,
slow pitch.
Probably. I haven't checked into the personal thing, but
I'm just curious. I mean,
no, on a more serious note, she was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's last year, right at the beginning of the season.
Oh, you know, you could have stopped
and
me before.
And she stuck it out through the whole season.
Jesus.
And you had that to say about her. L. Archer.
Now I feel like hell.
I'd send you to your room, but you don't have a room here yet.
What's the matter with me?
Lauren, I have something to tell you about.
Danica Fitzpatrick.
Danica Patrick. Roscoe, Illinois' own Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick.
That's good.
All right. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3.
This
four,
is quality entertainment.
9, 10, 11.
Who?
One more. The final sports. Who is... A polarizing personality.
Coach K. No, I guess that's not the personality.
You know who would be
the
awesome?
Harbaughs.
Yeah, or fucking, oops, excuse me.
Yeah.
Or one of the Ryans.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you could count them both as one, right?
What about
the Ryan brothers?
What about Bill Belichick? Or, Belichick.
Yeah, that'd be good.
The
that'd
genius?
Be real good. That would be really good.
Him and the genius running a lemonade stand?
That'd be,
Warren Sapp running it across the street?
That would be genius, my friend.
All right.
Now, on the show, that's what they do. They have to... God, they're going to do this sports one sometime.
They better.
And we said it here first.
Damn right.
Like, and it won't just be Donald. He'll have, like, Paul Tagliabue with him or something.
Oh, yeah. And you know who I think would win? It would come down to Venus... Williams and Bill Belichick. You know who they should dig out is Pat Summerall. John Madden. Whoa. Boom.
Oh, there he is.
Boom.
Were you going to say Pat Summerall?
I was. You know,
I thought those guys did a great job together.
They were good.
Come on.
John, you are right. 1st and 10. Ball on the 28-yard line. Are we going in overtime or what's the deal?
I don't know. We got a couple minutes here.
Okay. All right. One other thing I'd like to talk about.
Yes, sir.
Jets owner Woody Johnson could push football people to start Tim Tebow. What are your thoughts on that? CBS Sports reports, you think the Jets couldn't be any more of a circus than they already are. You could be wrong, depending on whether Woody Johnson gets his reported way with respect to the quarterback situation. According to Rich Kamini of ESPN New York, Johnson could push Rex Ryan and Mike Tannenbaum to give Tebow a start, this despite Rex giving Mark Sanchez the dreaded vote of confidence this week. Two people who know Johnson and know how he runs his football operation believe he will push this football people to start Tebow.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you think about owners? Jerry Jones, of course, famous for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is their team. I see a point, but if you're not, if you and the head coach aren't seeing eye to eye on who's playing, then it's never going to work out, Al.
Right. I think Rex Ryan's days are kind of numbered.
Yeah, they probably are. But if they're not getting to the playoffs, I think you can go ahead and call him yellow.
But by God, man, since he's got that lap band, does he look good?
Yeah, he sure does. He sure does.
He's dropped a lot.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the market for one of those, you know. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
All right, Al, let's go ahead and call this one.
Well, thank God.
One heck of a show this week. Thank you for being here with me.
One more
friend.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Or are we totally up against the clock?
No, we'll be all right.
All right, Billy Bean. Is the man a genius or what?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, he got a team of nobodies to the playoffs.
Yet again.
Yeah, he did it yet again.
Not only
right.
did he get to the playoffs, they won their conference.
Yeah, no, that's very true. That's very true. I'm impressed with the guy. I'm impressed with what they're doing.
So the question I propose to you is, do you think if he had a huge budget, if he was given, say, a Yankees-type team to run, do you think he would be successful? Or do you think his niche is building these teams of nobodies?
Now, he's going to be more successful with that because he will find what he needs to find with the best players in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Like the guys that he can pay the money to. It's going to be a different style of ball player than what he's been looking for.
Right.
Because he has to find the good ball player and he has to find the good qualities that other people aren't looking for when he doesn't have the budget.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
And he finds some with good qualities that nobody's looking for that can actually get you to the playoffs. Now, can they win a World Series? That's what that is what remains to be seen.
But
that team from back, you know, from the Moneyball book, they didn't win.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, though, you know, a lot of time these guys with all the money in the world, they run into traps. They keep buying bad players because they're the players that they think are the best. And they don't have guys who are trying to fight for a job. They get guys who are supposed to be stars, and it backfires.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
No, I appreciate the thought. I'm sorry I almost cut you off before we got to it.
No, that's all right. That's my job, just to jump in and ruin things.
Oh, come on.
Okay, I'm done.
All right, Al Archer. For Al Archer, I am Clark Lawrenson. Or are you doing that?
What?
Are you doing the sign-off? Am I doing the sign-off?
I'll do the sign-off.
Let's send us on to another Bears victory this Sunday.
Yeah.
3 o'clock. We appreciate the listeners, both the on-demand listeners. Thank you guys for picking us up.
I'm Al Larcher. He's Clark Lawrenson. This is the Larcher and Lawrenson Sports Show. Till next time, enjoy some Billy Beans.